Father, as we gather into your presence now, open our hearts to your word. Lord, change us, rebuke us, transform us into the image of your Son. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. So this past spring, a hummingbird built a nest in the plant right next to our front yard. And while she laid two eggs, only one hatchling actually appeared. And when it appeared, and we still remember that day, is you have this really helpless bird, and it's completely dependent on its mom. It would be a while before that hatchling would be able to fly. For one thing, hummingbird hatchlings don't come with feathers. They don't come in for like 10 days later. And then even after it has its feathers, much like a human being that don't know how to walk, hummingbirds don't know how to fly. It's a process for them to learn. And for a while there, they're completely dependent on their mom, who's urging them on. But they kind of like their situation because mom continues to bring food for them every morning. Well, eventually, this fledgling comes to realize that if I'm going to survive, because mom's not going to keep bringing food every day, I'm going to have to do something. And so eventually it decides to learn to take out its wings, and eventually it learns to flap, and it eventually flies. But it's a necessity of survival that pushes it onward. It takes a while for that fledgling bird to mature. And the same is true in the spiritual life. So we don't, you know, we're not born into the kingdom and automatically become a churn of the faith, ready to take on the work that God's called us to do. But it takes time. It takes a maturation process. And we need a guide to help us. And that's Scripture. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles today to 2 Timothy 3. And we're going to be looking at verses 10 through chapter 4, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, you recall we've just completed a sermon series on 1 Timothy, and now we're looking at 2 Timothy, which is just happens to be part of our lectionary today. Now, when Paul wrote 2 Timothy, his protege had already been ministering in Ephesus for 4 years. And in fact, it had almost been that length of time since he received his first letter from Paul. Now, prior to that, Timothy had been serving with Paul in Ephesus for about 3 years. And so Timothy had spent a considerable amount of time in Ephesus. Paul writes this letter to encourage Timothy, that in the face of all kinds of difficulties he continues to have in the church. So this is not an easy place. And this man needs encouragement. And a large part of this encouragement that Paul gives to Timothy is describing the essential role that Scripture is to play in his life and ministry. And so while the opponents who are gathered in this church are proclaiming a demonic message that tickled the Ephesians' ears, Paul will say, Timothy is to be focused on the centrality of Scripture. The Scripture is to guide him. Now, why? Why the importance of Scripture? Well, because we see in verse 17 of chapter 3 that Scripture equips us for every good work. So did you know that you were created for a purpose? It's not an accident that you're here, but that God created you. And since the day of your birth, God has been preparing you to fulfill unique works that he said you would be doing on earth for him. This is how Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And that word workmanship is another way of saying masterpiece. You know, so each one of us is an individual masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece, that you've been created for unique purpose. And if that is so, how do we prepare for those works that God has created us to do? And one of those ways is to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Now, Scripture is not like any other writing out there. So in verse 16 of chapter 3, Paul says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. So it's not inspired the way that, let's say, a poem or a song is inspired. And that's because its origin comes from God. And so the Greek word for breathed out by God means that the Bible has a divine origin. It's literally God's breath, God's wind, God's spirit, God's words. So think about what happens when you speak with somebody. So, you know, if like here as I'm giving this sermon, or when you're talking to your spouse, or if you're giving a class, or whatever the case might be, when you're talking, breath comes out, right? And that breath are your very words. They're an essence of how you think and who you are. And that's what Paul means by inspiration. He's saying that God has breathed his character, his very nature into Scripture. And so it's inherently inspired. These are God's words that he has left us. You know, I was reading about two college students. They were sharing a dorm with each other, and one was a Christian and the other was a Muslim. And the Christian asked his Christian friend, he said, so have you ever read the Quran? And he said, no, I haven't. And the other guy said, have you ever read the Bible? And so he said, no, I've never read the Bible. And so the Christian said, well, you know, it sounds interesting to learn about your tradition. Why don't we spend alternating nights or alternating weeks sharing these books that are so important to us? And so they agreed. And so over time, they were reading these alternating books. And by the next semester, not only did their friendship had grown, but the Muslim became a Christian. He gave his life. And then one evening, late in the term, after he'd already given his life to Jesus, he burst into the dorm room of the Christian. And he said to him, this is the Muslim guy saying to the Christian, you have deceived me. What are you talking about? Said the Christian. And this new believing Muslim opened his Bible and said, I've been reading through the Bible just as you told me to do. And this is what I just read, that the Word of God is living and active. And then he grinned and said, you knew all along that the Bible contained God's power and the Quran is just a book like every other book. I never had a chance. Will you hate me for life? Said the Christian. No, but it was an unfair contest. Yeah. And the truth is, the Bible isn't like any other book. You know, it's not like the Quran. It's not like Buddhist scripture. It's not like a textbook. It's not like Christian literature. It's not like anything. And so, inspired by God, the Scriptures equip us with wisdom to guide our lives and to help us find our purpose in life. In verse 15 of chapter 3, Paul writes, from childhood, you've been acquainted with the sacred scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting. This is a theme that's found both in the Old and the New Testaments. So in the book of Deuteronomy, it records when Moses had finished the law, and then he gave the law to the Levites to put inside the ark. And then he said in Deuteronomy 32, take to heart all the words which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, and that they may be careful to do all the works of this law. For it is no empty word for you, but your very life. And Jesus understood this too. When he began his ministry, you remember he was tempted by Satan. And he was enabled to defeat him by quoting from Deuteronomy three different times. And so here we have Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, and he leaned on Scripture in his hour of need. Indeed, his summary response to the tempter is like a bookend to Moses' declaration, because here's what Jesus said. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so the scriptures were life to Moses, and they were food for Jesus. And they cannot and must not be anything less for us. They are the wisdom of God. Now, the thing about Scripture is that the Scriptures equip us to see ourselves as we really are in God's eyes, and helps us in the formation of a godly character so that we can be used by God. Paul describes the usefulness of Scripture in four ways in verse 16. He says it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Now let's look at each of these to see how they help to equip us. First, teaching. You know, because Scripture has been breathed by God, these are God's very words, it's fundamental in instructing us and how we live our lives. The Word of God teaches what a godly life looks like, and it's the primary source for doctrine. And that word doctrine is just another word for it, for teaching. You know, it's the teachings of God. And so, for instance, we learn who God is. You know, we learn who we are. We learn about the state of the world. Our worldview comes out of reading Scripture. And as disciples of Jesus, we need to make sure that we're being informed and taught by the Scriptures. And yes, there's going to be all kinds of new things and new ideas that are coming out. And how do we verify those things? We go back to the Scriptures. Because the Scriptures show us God's intent and who God is. Second, reproof. And reproof is best defined as criticism of a fault. And this, too, is one of the fundamental uses of Scripture. Paul could be referring to reproof as it exposes the teaching of the heretics that Timothy was having to wrestle with at the time. Or he could be referring to rebuke that Scripture has in our own personal lives. But either way, Scripture does both. Scripture can serve to reproof for doctrinal errors, or it can show sinners their many faults and show us what we need to do about it. Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17 prays, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And the word sanctify just means to set apart. Set apart for the purposes of God. As we wrestle through sin and seek not to be controlled by that, we need to be set apart. And how does that happen? What happens by exposure to the truth, which Jesus says is the Word of God. You know, if we're honest, it's not very fun to have Scripture pointed at us, realizing that we've been going in the wrong direction, right? If we ignore that reproof, we become fools. But if we take it seriously, then we gain insight. That's what the Proverbs say. We gain insight so that we can learn from what we're shown to be wrong in our lives. So the Scripture not only rebukes wrong behavior, but they also point the way back. In other words, it provides godly correction for us to follow. Once the Scriptures have convicted us that we've done wrong and rebuked our sinful behaviors, then they aim to gain recovery and reconciliation with the Lord. The Lord doesn't want to keep us in our sins, but he wants us to be recovered and reconciled with him. After the Bible reveals our sin and the deep things of our heart, and then it works to repair us, rebuilding us. No one likes to be corrected, but praise God that not only are our wrongs revealed, but we are shown the way of righteousness. You know, when you're convicted of sin, do you search the scriptures for how to overcome it? Do you search the scriptures for how the scriptures would ask you to correct your life when you've done wrong? This is what scriptures intended us to do. It's meant for us to be constantly seeking the scriptures, especially when we've done wrong, so that we're given a path forward. And finally, the scriptures are designed to train us in godly living. So training involves the action of teaching people to acquire skills and types of behavior. So the idea here is that by teaching, rebuking, and correcting, all of this functions to train us to live righteously so that we can carry out the works that God has created us to do. And these uses of scripture are intermingled and overlap, but they're all for training in righteousness, putting us through a spiritual workout so that we develop godly muscles to withstand and sin and carry out the commands God has given us. If we aren't meditating on scripture, then we lose an important source of our nourishment and strengthening in the faith. It's a good thing that we read scripture each week in our services. Isn't it great that we read it? And yet it's not enough. We need scripture every day. We need the word every day. We need the word of God speaking into our lives, into our hearts. Because the scriptures are training us for the work God has for us. And we need that more and more. Scripture is the most important vehicle through which God speaks directly into our lives. It's what we can truly trust. Paul was convinced that scripture was able to equip Timothy for the task of ministry. And so in verse 17, he says, scripture is profitable, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Paul is telling Timothy that for all the uses of scripture, it has one chief purpose: for spiritual maturity, so that we might become mature. And that's for all of us, not just for Timothy, but that's for all of us, that we might become mature and able to do the work that we're called to do. And this means that scripture enables us to be capable of carrying out God's work. For scripture makes us complete as disciples so that we can meet the demands of godly and righteous living. You know, at some point you've probably had to call a plumber because of something, you know, in your house. There might be a leak or something like that. And suppose that you have, you know, this horrible clogged sink in your house and you don't know what to do about it, and you call up a plumber, and he arrives. But there's a catch. This plumber didn't bring any equipment. Then he comes to the door with no wrenches, no clamps, no pipes, no tool belt, nothing. He just arrives at your door in some car. And he says, okay, I'm here to do the job. So how confident would you be in this guy? Probably not very confident at all. Because he has no equipment to do the job, right? And for disciples, we have a far more important job than fixing a clogged sink. It's living a godly life, using the gifts that we've been given. But we cannot and will not do the works he's given us to do without the right equipment, which is the Word of God. This is our food, and this is our life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you that you are so good, that you would leave us your very word, that even as we live in this life, Lord, we are never far from you, but your word is with us to guide us and lead us. And if you've been remiss in reading God's word and really spending time meditating in God's word each day, I just want to invite you to make that a commitment before the Lord this day. I invite you to allow the living word of God to speak into your heart each day. Let the Lord speak to you now. Lord, we thank you for your precious words that teach, reproof, correct, and train us, that we might be made fully equipped for the work you've called us to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.